Today we're going to build a deep, evolving riser for a jungle and old-school D&B intro using only stock devices in Ableton Live 12. And the goal here is not just to make a whoosh. We want something that feels like it belongs in the track itself. Something gritty, musical, a little dangerous, and full of tension. The kind of riser that earns the drop instead of just announcing it. So think of this as a proper intro builder for a dark 8-bar or 16-bar buildup. It should work in old-school jungle intros, roller-style tension sections, and those moments where you want the track to feel like it's slowly waking up, before the break and bass slam in. Let's get into it. First, set up your project and decide how long the build-up is going to be. For jungle, I usually recommend 16 bars if you want that classic DJ-friendly phrase structure. If the arrangement is already moving quickly, 8 bars can work too, but 16 gives you more room to let the energy breathe and develop. Create 3 MIDI tracks and 1 audio track. Keep it simple. Track 1 is going to be your noise riser. Track 2 will be your tonal riser. Track 3 will be your break texture layer. And the audio track is there for resampling later, which is super useful once the build is working. Now, the first layer, the noise riser. On track 1, load Waveedable and start with a basic patch. You can use noise or a bright Waveedable source if you want a slightly more synthetic edge. Then place auto filter after it. This is where the motion really starts to happen. Start the filter fairly closed, somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz, and automate it up gradually, so it opens right into the final bars. By the end, you can take it up into the 8 to 12 kHz range if you want a brighter lift. Keep the resonance moderate, just enough to give the sweep some character without turning it into a whistle. Then add saturator after that. Nothing extreme. Just a little drive, maybe 2 to 5 dB. With soft clip turned on, that gives the layer some density and makes it feel less clean and digital. After that, add reverb. Use a fairly long decay, somewhere around 2.5 to 6 seconds, but don't drown it. You want space, not fog. A dry slash wet setting around 15 to 35% is usually a good zone. If the top end gets too harsh, roll off the high end inside the reverb a bit. The key here is this. Don't let the riser start bright. Let it begin dark and narrow. Then open it up later. That contrast is what creates the sense of movement. Now for the second layer, which is the tonal rise. This is where we make the riser feel musical instead of just noisy. Use operator or Waveedable again, but this time build a sustained note or a simple chord fragment. In jungle and old school D&B, even one note can do a lot if it moves correctly. Try a saw or sine saw blend, with 2 to 4 voices if you want a bit of width. Keep the detune subtle. You don't want a huge super saw clout here unless that's specifically the vibe. This layer should feel like tension, not trance. Automate the pitch upward over the buildup. You can do this with clip transpose or device automation. A rise of 2 to 7 semitones across the section is often enough, depending on the key and the mood. Even a small pitch climb can feel massive if the rest of the arrangement is controlled. Filter this layer too. Start it lower, around 300 to 800 Hz, and open it progressively to maybe 4 to 10 kHz. By the end, add a small amount of chorus ensemble if you want width, but keep it restrained. A little movement goes a long way. You can also use delay here for a ghostly trail. Try synced 1/8 or dotted 1/8 timing, with low feedback and a modest dry slash wet amount. That can make the tone feel like it's hanging in the air behind itself, which works really well in darker D&B intros. Now the third layer is where this starts to really sound like jungle. Bring in a chopped break texture, an amen break, a think break, or any busy old school drum texture from your own library works great. You don't need a full drum pattern. In fact, it's better if you don't. We just want a fragment of break energy that can stretch and rise with the rest of the build. You can do this with simpler in slice mode if you want to trigger bits of the break, or just use an audio clip and warp it. If you're using an audio clip, Complex Pro can be a good choice when the break has tonal content. Then automate the transpose slightly upward over time, and sweep a high-pass filter across it so the low end clears out as the build progresses. A little redux can add grit too, but use it carefully. You're aiming for texture, not destroyed audio. Even subtle bit reduction or downsampling can give the break layer that old tape-worn or sampler-like character that fits jungle so well. This layer matters because it connects the riser to the drum programming that comes next. That's the secret. It stops the intro from sounding like some random effects pasted on top. Instead, it feels like the track is already breaking apart into the groove that's about to hit. Once all three layers are working, group them together. Then put utility after the group, so you can control the width and overall gain. This is where we shape the full rise. Now automate the important stuff over the whole buildup. Don't just automate one filter and call it done. Move multiple parameters so the riser feels alive. Open the cutoff gradually, then a little faster toward the end. Increase the width slowly from around 80 or 100% to something broader like 120 or 140% by the final bars. If the mix allows it, let the volume creep up slightly too, maybe 1 to 3 dB overall. And on the tonal layer, keep the pitch moving upward so the ear keeps sensing forward motion. A good way to think about the intro is in phases. The first four bars should feel dark, narrow, and understated. The next four bars can start hinting at more pitch and brightness. The third phase, bars 9 to 12, is where the riser starts to open up and feel more urgent. And the final bars should feel like the pressure is building right before the floor drops out. One very important thing here, don't let every layer peak at the same time. That's a common mistake. If the break layer is the most exciting element, keep the tonal layer simpler. If the tonal layer is carrying the emotion, let the noise stay more restrained. You want one layer to be emotionally dominant, while the others support it. For the final bar, really lean into the tension. Open the filter faster, maybe narrow the stereo field slightly, and high pass the whole thing more aggressively so the low mids get out of the way before the drop. That makes the sub and kick feel much bigger when they land. Now let's add a classic pre-drop trick. A tiny reverse tail or a brief moment of silence before the drop can make the hit feel way harder. This is one of those small details that makes a huge difference in DNB. You can resample a short slice of the riser, reverse it, and place it right before the drop, or use echo for a dubby tail with low feedback and filtered repeats. High pass the echoes so they don't muddy the bottom end. Then, just before the drop, leave a tiny gap. Even a 16th note of silence can make the impact punch way harder. That little void is powerful. It gives the listener a split second of tension release, and then the drop hits with more authority. Now, to make this all sit properly in the mix, add some bus processing to the group. Use EQ8 to high pass the whole riser around 100 to 200 Hz so it doesn't fight the bass line. If anything in the high mid starts to sting, cut a little around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If it needs more air, add a slight shelf above 8 kHz, but only if the mix can handle it. Then add a little more saturator if you want extra grime. And if the layers need to feel glued together, a glue compressor with a light amount of gain reduction can help. Keep it gentle. We're talking about 1 to 2 dB of compression, just enough to tie the layers together. Also, check the riser in mono. This is really important. Sometimes a wide build sounds huge in stereo but falls apart in mono. If that happens, simplify the stereo processing a little and make sure the core of the sound still works. Once the automation feels good, resample the whole riser to audio. This is a smart move, because it lets you commit to the shape and character instead of endlessly tweaking. It also makes it easier to chop, reverse, and reuse later. After resampling, consolidate the audio, and if you want, reverse small sections or trim the last half bar for extra tension. You can also make a DJ-friendly intro version later by stripping back some of the brightness and stereo movement. And that's really the mindset here. Think in energy grammar, not just sound effects. The best DNB risers don't just go up. They tell you where the track is heading. They start as texture, become motion, then become pressure. If you want to push this further, try making three versions of the same riser. One dark and minimal, one more musical and eerie, and one more aggressive and gritty. Keep the same tempo and key, bounce them all out, and compare how each one changes the emotional feel of the intro. That's a great exercise, because it teaches you how much arrangement choice matters. A riser is not just a technical object, it's part of the story. So the big takeaway is this: build with layers, automate with purpose, keep the low end clean, and let the final bar feel more tense than the rest. If your riser sounds like it grew out of the drums, the bass, and the atmosphere of the tune, then you're in the right zone. That's how you make a jungle or old school DNB intro that actually earns the drop. Now go make it gritty, make it alive, and make that first bass hit feel huge.